Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Welcome to Long-Term Care podcast. I am your host, Bilqis Ali. I am an RN and Certified Director of Nursing in Administration and Long-Term Care. I am also the author of Welcome to Long-Term Care, as well as the creator for the Welcome to Long-Term Care Companion Planet. Today's topic, we are talking about documentation and, you know, things that can really inhibit our nurses' growth and development, especially when it comes from the legal side. I have an amazing guest with me today, Ms. Jackie. Won't you introduce yourself?
Hi there. Thank you for having me on your show. I am Jacqueline Mackey, and I am a legal nurse consultant. I have a master's in healthcare administration, and before being a legal nurse consultant, I was an administrator for a hospital.
Wow. So that's a lot of experience there, guys. So we're going to try to talk about as much as we can so we can, you know, I'm always here to educate and put out information on how we can improve ourselves as nurse leaders. So, Ms. Jackie, all right. So what inspired you to get into the role of the legal nurse consultant?
Well, I had been in nursing for a while and then moved into management. And while I was in middle management, I thought, you know, I've always been interested in law. What else is out there that I can do as a nurse? And so I found some information on legal nurse consulting that actually came to me by a flyer in the mail, and started looking at it. And it wasn't until 5 years later, when I was the chief nursing officer, that I actually pursued it. So I became certified as a legal nurse consultant while working as a chief nursing officer.
Oh, okay. So where did you have to get certified through?
So there are numerous different courses you can take. And so you could take a course through the American Association of Legal Nurse Consultants. You can take a course through Vicki Milazzo Institute, and that's the one that I took. There are also other universities now that are starting to offer legal nurse consulting courses.
Yeah, I know. I was looking into it a couple years ago. I looked into becoming a legal nurse consultant because I've always loved the compliant aspect of things. And the program that I was looking into, it was at that time, it was just too lengthy for me. So, you know, I didn't proceed, but I'm definitely going to proceed in that route in the near future. Just because I love compliance and I love, you know, policies and investigating and root cause analysis. You know, so I definitely think it's in my passion to like move forward with that at some point. But, you know, the reason why I wanted to have you on the show is because there are a lot of nurses who are losing their licenses right now. And I think a lot of that comes from the lack of knowledge. It's like they go to school and, you know, they become nurses, but I don't really think people, you know, pay attention to their scope of practice or how they are liable in situations when it comes to patient care, regardless of the acute care setting or, you know, the skilled setting. So what have you noticed, like, throughout your career, you know, some areas that we as nurses can improve?
That's a good question. So what I noticed, and I did while I was in administration and in management, is that people don't necessarily take seriously the policies and procedures that are in place in their facility. The reason why policies and procedures are made is not to make your life more difficult, but actually to protect you. And so when new policies and procedures come out, those are all based on standards of care and on rules and regulations that your facility has to abide by, or it will find itself in trouble. And so when you have a manager that sends out new policies and procedures for your unit, read them. Also, take it upon yourself to know, what is your scope of practice for your state? What is your scope of practice? What is the standard of care that your state says that you can do with your license? because the more knowledge you have, the more wisdom and understanding that you can grasp, the better nurse you are going to be for your patients, and the more you're going to protect yourself.
Yes, that's, you know, that's so important, Jackie, and I'm so glad that you brought that up, because in my role, you know, I always teach my clients to make sure you're following that policy and procedure. That is key. You know, they are definitely in place to protect not only the resident, but like you said, ourselves, because like when events happen, we can't say, oh, we didn't know, because we might not have been shown. However, we have to do our due diligence to make sure when new policies come out, even if your leader doesn't provide it with you, if they say, hey, you know, there's a new policy, you know, you have to take ownership and, you know, go and read that policy so that you are still following what the facility says you can, that you're supposed to be doing. And that is where I think a lot of the issues come in at. That is where a lot of litigations come in, because we're not following that. And, you know, that's such a crucial aspect when it comes to compliance. And that's how we have like the bad survey outcomes, where you have special focus facilities, and it's because of not following policies that were implemented and don't have, you know, necessary processes in place. You know, so I'm glad you brought that up, because it's definitely my key point of when I'm doing any type of education. It's like, don't lead blindly. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So like I said, I've been reading a lot about, you know, nurses losing their licenses, nursing, even administrators, you know, in long-term care, losing their licenses because it's that lack of follow through. Have you had to sit on court cases or anything like that? Anything that you can give us, like examples?
Well, I would say I will just give you overall information. And that is that, you know, in nursing school, at least when I went to nursing school, we were taught that if you didn't document it, you didn't do it. And now we know that with electronic charting, sometimes depending on how the system is set up, depends on how much you can chart or what you can chart. But what I always recommend is put in what kind of care that you did for that patient, if at all possible, because if that case goes to court, okay, so let's say you took care of a patient and then 10 years down the road, for some reason, it happens to go to court, you're not going to remember that case. You've taken care of how many residents, how many different people. And so in order for you to even remember what you did, you're going to have to review your nursing notes. And if you did a really good job of documentation, that's going to help your case. That's going to help you with deposition. It's going to help you if you end up having to go into the court of law, to remember, oh yes, okay, I don't, you know, my notes are bringing back to me about this person, or I can see, you know what, I didn't miss any of my charting. I did a great job charting. So even though I might not remember all the details of this person, my charting is impeccable. So I feel confident. If you end up going to court and your charting is sloppy and there's no rhyme or reason to why it's sloppy, you're going to have a hard time being protected.
That's definitely a good point too. I know not too long ago, I did put out a video on, you know, documentation, you know, the who, what, when, where, why, and how you're going to prevent anything else from happening again. And I, you know, we, you know, as leaders, you know, we really try to stress that documentation, because it's like you said, you don't know what can happen. You know, either one of us can end up in court at any given time. You know, so we want to make sure that we're documenting. And I know from the long-term care perspective, it's the same thing. If it's not charted, it's not done. But when I would have allegations of abuse come up, for example, if a resident was to say they didn't get incontinence care, and I would have to do, a reportable event, I would have to go and check that documentation to say, okay, when did the resident receive incontinence care? And there would be times when there's no documentation till like an hour before the shift ends. And so you have a resident complaining that they haven't had care all day, but you have no proof until 2 o'clock in the afternoon to say, oh, but I'm just charting. And I used to always tell them, no, you have to chart as much as you can as you go. This is the only thing, you know, it's not about what you know, it's about what you can prove. And right. That documentation aspect of that's key. So if a resident is saying, I didn't get morning care, and your documentation isn't until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, what do I have to back you to say anything else?
Correct. Or there are a lot of times where there are even omissions. So you might have wound care documentation or MAR or TAR situations where there are two or three shifts that aren't documented on. Well, those are red flags if it comes up in a court of law. It's like, what, did this person go a full shift without being taken care of? What occurred here? So as a nurse, all of us went into nursing because we want to take care of people. Most nurses are very loving, caring people, and they want to do the best thing for their patient. Well, the best thing for their patient is to make sure that they take credit for what they actually did for their patient. And so that's one of the positive ways to look at this. You did such a great job. Let it be known on the charting. That's how we know.
Agreed. Yes, it is. You know, and I say it all the time because, you know, the number one excuses, it's just too much to do. The documentation is so extant that, you know, I didn't have time. And I'm like, and I, even to this day, I always tell, you know, my nurses and even myself, we do so much more than we even document for. We do way much more, and we only take credit for half of it with our documentation.
That's very true.
You know,
And I understand. I remember when we'd have to make new policies and procedures or new things would come down the pipeline. That's like, really? There's a new regulation? I can't believe it. Well, now being on the other side of this, those rules and regulations and the new things coming down the pike really are to help protect you. They protect the care of the patient because some neglect has been seen, obviously. But when you follow that new rule or regulation and that new charting, it's for your benefit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so, you know, these are definitely good, you know, good topics, you know, good points that we're pointing out here. The other thing I wanted to talk about, set aside from, have you had any areas of concern from the delegation aspect? Like, have you had any experience where staff member might have been delegated a task that was out of their scope of practice, which then, had caused like an actual harm or anything?
I have, over my tenure as a nurse, I have seen it occur. I have not seen that in my legal nurse consulting yet. But what I will tell you is that it is extremely important that you know the scope of practice for those that are working with you. So if you are a nurse, or if you're a registered nurse, if you want to delegate something, what is the scope of practice for that person in your state? And then what is your facility, what have they put in place for the scope for that person? Because usually the actual role that that person plays will have a list of what they can and what they can do. Okay. And that's usually based off the regulations that are set up for that state. So make sure that those two are in alignment, because sometimes something will change and it's not caught right away, right? I mean, a lot of times job descriptions are changed once a year and something might have come down the pike through the state and it does get changed. So if you, as a nurse manager or an administrator, you know, it's important that you keep an eye on that. And then as an end user, as a registered nurse, before I would delegate anything to an LPN, a CNA, an MA, whoever you may be working with, I would double check what policy, procedure, and information for that job description is listed. And then what is my state saying about it? Are they in alignment before I do this? And some people just say, well, yeah, you know, it's okay. We've done it that way all the, you know, forever. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. And if you as the registered nurse are the one delegating, at some point you may find yourself in a deposition because you're the one who delegated it. So just make sure that what you're doing is, and what you delegate is not outside their scope.
Yes, correct. And, you know, and that's the point that we definitely have to tone in on, the scope. You know, example is, you know, some states, every LPN can't administer IV antibiotics. You know what I mean? It might not be in their scope. So it's, again, knowing what everyone can do, you know, from a scope perspective, you know, so, you know, definitely. And, you know, and that's why I wanted to have you on this show, because, you know, I think people need to hear this. We need to learn how to protect our license. We worked hard for it. We went to school for it. We love what we do. However, our lack of knowledge can put us in situations where it can be taken from us so quickly without us even knowing, just because we don't have the knowledge background, or we're not adhering to policies and procedures, or being proactive in what we're supposed to be doing. You know, we're just going along with the flow. Someone else is doing it, so then you do it. And, you know, I never used to like to function without my policy. Anything I would learn, I would say, where's the policy for that? I remember my consultant, my DONs, they used to like, oh, Bill Keith, do this. I'm like, can you not get the policy? And they would be sick of me, but I need to see that policy, because I want to make sure that I understand it, and I need to know the why behind it.
Yes.
Okay. I need to know why I'm doing it, you know.
And I know that a lot of times in nursing, we just, you know, we feel cushioned, right? We're like, well, that's the quality manager's problem, and that's the charge nurse's problem, or, you know, and so nurses, a lot of times they're like, oh my word, that's just red tape. We don't want to deal with that. We just want to do the warm, fuzzy stuff. And, or I'm too busy to worry about all that kind of stuff. That's why they hired so-and-so. They can take care of it. I just want to concentrate on the patient, but, or the resident. But really, your quality manager and your manager of your unit, or the director or the administrator, they should be your best friend, not people that you want to run and hide from. If you don't understand language in a policy or procedure, you don't understand language concerning your scope of practice for your state, they're the ones that you should go to. Or if you're concerned about, hey, I think this practice that we're doing isn't quite right, don't be afraid to talk to those people. That's what they're there for.
Exactly. You know, and again, you know, these are things that need to be heard. You know, so I, you know, definitely appreciate you coming on the show and spreading some knowledge. I'm so appreciative for that. Is there anything you want to add before we close out?
Well, I would just say, don't let this scare you from being a nurse. You know, we have very important roles. So take pride in what you do. Just make sure that you're knowledgeable in what you're doing so that you can do it to the best of your ability and feel comfortable doing it, and knowing that what you're doing is within the scope. And if you, for any reason, doubt anything, don't be afraid to talk about it. A lot of times nurses are afraid, you know, that they might be labeled if they bring something up. But you know what? Better that you bring it up before it ever gets to a court of law.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. And I think the more we learn about policies and procedures, I think we become more confident in what we're doing, though.
Absolutely.
And that's why I like to stress the importance of following policy. So this way you can feel confident that you're doing what you're doing, supposed to be doing, and it's the right way. Rather than, yes. That's why I always say, policies and procedures are black and white. You don't have to think about it because the information that you need to do is there. You know?
Right. And if you don't feel competent doing something, then look and see what, under education, what kind of education can you do or should you be doing for your facilities so that you do feel comfortable or the nurses under you feel comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Such good points, Jackie. So again, I want to thank you for taking the time out to spend with us here today. Again, everyone, my name is Bilqis Ali. I am an RN and Certified Director of Nursing and Administration and Long-Term Care. If you have any questions or concerns, please email me, consultant@welcometolongtermcare.com. And don't forget to visit my website for all of your nursing purchases. I hope you all have a wonderful day, and I will talk to you next week.